girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast, it's all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. What's up, girl? I'm so excited that you're here for today's episode because we have a really fun conversation for you to listen into. It's also packed with so much information. It is a conversation with my girl, Allison Mares. She's a nutritional therapy practitioner. You're going to love her spunky personality, but you're also just going to love how she's such a wealth of knowledge in the space in terms of supporting your nervous system. We talk about gut health and burnout, how she actually managed to get her health back on track after getting a tough diagnosis. So if you've ever gotten feedback or just like information from a doctor that's like, oh, like so overwhelming, this is going to be your jam. But also outside of that, we talk about ways to support your nervous system, which I found to be so interesting, and how to really advocate for ourselves in the medical system, the gut-brain connection. She's like so really articulate about explaining this. Like I loved the way that she described this all, how to create more energy and lots of tips to support your overall health for the long haul. So I can't wait to hear what you think of this episode. There's so many juicy nuggets that you can implement today. And if you tag me at Keisha Get Mary and Allison at Food by Mars on Instagram, like if you put on the Instagram stories, you listening into this podcast and share a takeaway, we're going to pick three of you to win her gut healing cookbook. So I think you're going to love this. Without further ado, let's dive right in. Allison, girl, I am so freaking excited to have you on the show and vibe on all things like burnout, especially for the overachievers listening in. We're going to talk about gut health and like so many juicy topics. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, babe. I'm so excited. This is my, these are my people. This is me.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I feel like we have to start with how in the world you got into the space that you're in. Like if you can give us just like a high level overview, because, you know, like we were chatting about, a lot of the women that listen in to this podcast that are listening in right now, they are go-getters and they also are starting to normalize maybe even some of the symptoms that they're feeling, like, you know, that 3 p.m. crash in energy, or like almost like pushing to the side some of the symptoms that are coming up like health-wise because they're really focused on their goals, whether that's in their business or their career or their moms, and they're just like pouring into everybody else, and sometimes their health gets put on the back burner. So like set them up, Allison, give them your backstory so they can understand like how you really understand this.
100%. I was just kind of riffing with you and basically saying something that I feel like I've seen is when it comes to our gut health issues, whether you want to describe someone as like anal or, oh, you're so like rigid and tight and all these things. Like, well, isn't that sometimes how we're feeling in our body? Like we're having digestive issues. We can't right? Like we're bloated, we have all these issues. And then even with that, it really is a spectrum where now we're swinging all the way to this autoimmune. So I'm literally like kind of seeing this thing where it's like, wow, I don't think it's a coincidence that my gut health, IBS, you know, chronically just digestive disorders all across the board. And then these autoimmune issues all have a very similar personality type. We're perfectionists. We're climbing the corporate ladder or we're building businesses. We're the caregivers, like you said, whether we're moms or taking care of everybody else. It is a thing. So that's ultimately how I came to it myself, because I was working in New York City. My previous life, I was like working in marketing tech startups, climbing that ladder. It was the whole work hard, play hard culture.
Yeah,
that many of us are just in some way, shape or form, that it's kind of like pick yourself up by your bootstraps, like keep going, push, grind, hustle, then go out for your happy hours, then take your clients out for dinner, you know, go do boozy brunch Saturday and Sunday. Like this was my 20s, you know, like,
yeah, so
just
real
nonstop, go. And I wore it like a badge of honor. I wore burnout like a badge of honor, essentially like, oh, yeah, like workaholic, like the more I do, the better I am, the more I'm achieving. And that says something about me. And I really was just like in it, loving it. This is the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
Not so much. So when I was like 27, everything just came crashing down. I started completely burning out. I was losing all my hair. I lost like 75% of my hair. My gut was always kind of a mess, but like you mentioned, I normalized it. I'm like, oh, everyone's kind of like bloated by the end of the day. Everyone is like unbuttoning their pants at lunch. blah, 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 right? Yeah. Everyone's exhausted falling asleep. Dude, the one time I fell asleep at like a concert at 9:30, 10 p.m. I'm like, yeah, that's like, that's just me. That's like my personality.
Yeah.
So I just kept normalizing all these things. But then in my late 20s, I had like gotten married and I was getting off the birth control pill because I was like, oh, like eventually maybe we'll have a kid.
Yeah.
And boom, I got what's called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. That was ultimately that trigger for me. And everything was just changing and no doctors were catching it in Western medicine. Like MDs were just like, I don't know, maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're aging. I'm like, I'm 27. I don't think I should be losing all my hair. What are you talking about? Food sensitivities were piling on, brain fog. Like I just didn't feel like me. It was
what was like the emotional side of that? Cause I think like anyone listening into this, when you start to notice symptoms stacking, it can feel really scary. And also if you don't have the knowledge, like you're working in marketing, you're like, obviously now you're such a wealth of knowledge in this space and we'll get into that. But like you're working in marketing, you're doing what everybody, you know, we become a byproduct of the expectations of our peer group. So you're doing what everybody around you is doing. You think that this is normal. Then all of a sudden it's like, you're losing your hair. You're starting to feel like super fatigued. You're falling asleep at 9 p.m. like standing up. Like you're like,
literally,
what's going on? Right. So like at that point, Allison, are you like freaking out about this or how, like, what's the first step that you actually took for anyone listening in? That's like, oh my gosh, I can connect with some of those things. Right.
100%. I mean, as you can imagine, very lonely, isolating. Yeah. There was just like shame. There was, you know, nobody got it. Like I would talk about it to my friends and my circles hoping like, does anyone have you ever heard of that? Like, you know, just trying to figure out, reach out. And everyone's just like, all right, I don't know. Like nobody knew what to do, what to say.
Yeah.
And to your point, it's like, I was in a very different circle and trajectory at that time. Yeah. So it was really isolating. And so I did what most people do, take to Google's, Dr. Google's, try to figure out what the heck's going on, YouTube, like everything. I was just strapping stuff together. I was trying to read books on health and do all this stuff. Ultimately, I just started going so into it, like just getting really deep into it. And I started cooking from home. That's how I started a lot of things with my food blog, just kind of sharing about eating healthier and stuff. And I started seeing like, oh, I feel a little better. I feel a little more energy. Like this is nice, like drip, drab kind of things. And then finally, I started going back to school to become a nutritionist, a nutritional therapy practitioner. And that really helped. And then I wound up with a diagnosis because I finally sought out a functional medicine doctor or a naturopathic doctor is also like akin, to someone who could really catch this because I was going to the best doctors, NYU, Columbia, you know, in New York City, I was going to endocrinologists. My mom was like, it sounds like your thyroid is out of whack. Like, you know, and no, I would go to these doctors. I was with the right people, quote unquote, but they had nothing for me.
Yeah.
They were not testing me appropriately. They were not doing a full range of labs. And so this is what happens. People come to me years and years deep into this that they're like, nobody caught it for so long. And like for me, it took me 3 years to finally get that diagnosis. And that also makes you feel a certain way because you're like, oh my God, I've been struggling for so long and I was just dismissed. And that's really it can be very traumatic, really sucky.
Well, and even having the confidence, like, so how did you establish, because even when I was going through like our birth, like I really wanted to do an unmedicated birth and I had to really advocate for myself because we did it at a hospital. And I really, that was kind of the first time that I was like pushing against the medical system, which I think has so much value, the traditional medical system.
Sure.
But I also think that there's a time and place where you really have to like be confident enough to advocate for yourself. So as a 27-year-old who's getting like, you know, these symptoms and you're going into all of these doctors, like how are you even building up the confidence? And like, what would you say to someone right now who like, they know in their gut, no pun intended, but like, they know intuitively that like they're getting doctors that are like, this is what it is, but they know that something's off. Like, how did you even know, like, what was the first step that you took? But also even like, how did you advocate for yourself for those 3 years?
You know, that's such a good question because I remember feeling like, just listen to them. They're the experts, like that white lab coat kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Paradigm. Like they know I don't until things just kept stacking, kept getting worse that I was getting angry. I was like, no, I'm not crazy. I'm not like they were making me seem like the hysterical woman, archetype. Yeah. Like, you're just hysterical. You're just crazy. You're just like depressed. And I'm like, this is BS. That's not who I am. Like, no. You're not going to put me in that. So I've started just feeling very angry and like I needed to step up. No one else was like, no one was coming to save me. Yeah. I had to now save myself. And kind of another backstory, I grew up seeing my mom really struggle and my dad, you know, with various health issues.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing where it's like absolutely medicine and Western medicine has a place, but not in the chronic, I want to be proactive about my health paradigm. Absolutely not. Not in trying to find root causes, not in trying to figure out these things. And so that's where I already knew there was going to be this disconnect. And so that's when I was like, well, I'm going to learn more and I'm going to go. And that is where our type A-ness and perfectionism can really save us, because it's like, we're not going to give up. We're not going to take this lane down. And that's what I had to do ultimately. And it didn't feel comfortable to ask for labs that I got off Google. And I'm like, I know you're only doing like two of those blood markers, but can you do five actually?
Yeah. And good for you.
They would tell me no, girl. Like they would be like, I don't think your insurance will even cover that. And I'm like, well, so I'll pay for it. I don't know. I need to know what's wrong with me. I'm going to go bald. Yeah. Like I'm 27, you know, like it's not okay.
Yeah.
So truly my body kept me pushing.
Yeah.
With the symptoms that initially I was like, oh my God, I'm broken. Something's wrong with me. Yeah. You know, now 10 plus years later, I have this hindsight to see I wasn't broken. My body was responding to the environment appropriately.
Yep.
And wow, what a gift that it warned me. It jolted me out of the burnout and the trajectory that I was on to get even worse.
Yeah.
To say, oop, I'm going to hit you in the mirror. Every time you look in the mirror, you're losing hair. So you're not going to ignore this.
Yes.
And my symptoms kept telling me. So that's all symptoms are, guys. They're messages from the body. You're not broken. You just need to say, okay, I'm here to listen now, finally.
Yes.
And that changing that story empowered me, gave me my confidence and said, okay, I'm going to figure this out one way or another. And then I'm going to help other people do it too, because I'm a big sister and that's my vibe. Well, I don't want anyone else going through this ever. This is terrible.
Yeah. Well, and also, Allison, I think that's really powerful, because a lot of times people listen into the show wondering, like, what's my thing? What am I passionate about? What's going to be the way that I impact the world? And sometimes the problem that you solve for yourself ends up being this gateway into a really fulfilling career or business, because you're so passionate to your core. Like, I mean, anyone listening into this can feel how passionate you are, that it's like, I don't want anyone else to go through this, but I actually had to go through this first, recognize all of the roadblocks that I hit along the way. And now I want to help someone else avoid it. So for anyone listening that's struggling with anything, obviously we're talking about health specifically, but anything that you're struggling with, when you figure out how to solve this problem for yourself, that might be what you end up doing to impact the world. So it's like, in hindsight, like it sucks when you're in it, don't get me wrong. But looking back, I'm sure you're just actually grateful, because you could be in marketing right now.
Exactly.
Like you're doing what you're doing right now. So fast forward, you go to school and you like, what happens now career-wise, and like, who do you work with now? Because I want to talk like about the gut health side of things too. So like, what did you do in school and what do you do now?
No, that's great. So I basically learned how to support things at a more root cause foundational level, that, okay, symptoms are messages from the body. They're coming from something, some kind of dis-ease, right? We hear disease and it's like, oh my God, it's just dis-ease in the body, in the mouth, something that's missing, you know, whatever it is. And so we look at that from a nutritional therapy standpoint. It's like, okay, yes, nutrition, nutrient density, properly prepared foods, whole foods, like kind of kicking some of the junk out, that kind of thing. That's one place. That's something that if you've scrolled my Instagram, you'll see, I always say, don't overcorrect with diet, let it be where it belongs, and then move on to the other things. So this is where, you know, certain key supplements can be supportive. And that's certainly something that I use and support with my clients. But then also, if we need to do labs, if we need to do like gut testing and stuff like that, that's going to be helpful. Yeah. But what I love to do is play the long game. When I shifted that for myself, it's very easy to see this and it's like, what's the biohack? What's the protocol? What's the medicine? Like, fix it right away. I want instant gratification. I need my hair to grow back right now. And for me, it's like, I wanted to eventually get pregnant. And I was very scared, because Hashimoto's, it can be very, very difficult. People can struggle with infertility and all these things. And so I was now on a clock and I'm like, uh-oh, I got to heal. Let's get into remission. And then I got to get pregnant. And, you know, just the bip, 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 bip. I'll do everything on the to-do list. But what I really learned personally and then professionally as well on the journey is that I get to be in this journey and I get to play the long game and I get to find what my special sauce is. Like, what is my mix? What's going to speak to what my root cause issues are? Yeah. Not from a standpoint of like, oh, I have parasites or I have mold or not just that. Like, those are more like acute things that you address, right? Yeah. You do an antibiotic or whatever to address it. But what are you going to do to make sure these things don't keep coming back? Because I dealt with that too, where I kept having recurrent gut infections and all these things. Because if we're not doing the long game, they will keep coming back, I promise you. Just keep shelling out the money and doing the tests and doing all the things. Right. So that's where I really loved how I was trained and then how I was learning myself and practicing to do things like eating more mindfully, reducing stress, all the unsexy things.
Yeah.
That you can't buy in a potion, right? It's like, it's the stuff you've got to put in the work to shift, because that's what all led up here. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's not the three easy payments of $9.99 and then all of a sudden everything is fixed. So like when someone comes to you, when you think of like long game, like you have such a holistic approach to this, which I love and I think is so, so important for people to hear, because we are sold those instant gratification, quick fix things. Yes. And that's what marketing is doing to us. Like we've been inundated with all of this for so long. Oh, yeah. So it's almost like you have to like stop. And sometimes I think the story that people tell themselves is like, it can't be enough to mindfully eat. It can't be enough to reduce stress. It can't be enough to drink more water, sleep
That's
well,
so
work
simple.
On myself. It seems too simple, right? So like, what are some of the things right now that if someone feels like they're having this overhaul, obviously you can't give prescriptive like advice to everyone's particular situation, but overall, what are some of the things that you start your clients with that almost seem like they're too simple, but they actually have a big return?
Oh, I love that question, because that is the stuff that I love to talk about, because I feel comfortable of like prescribing that to anyone.
Right.
So absolutely mindful eating would be number one.
Yeah.
Because the idea is we can focus so hard on the fuel, what we're putting into our body 3 times a day. Yes, that's obviously important. I love food. I love to cook. That's how I kind of started with all this. But then I started to see like a lot of food sensitivities and then food fear around that and doing all these elimination diets. And it was just like, oh my God, like is all food poison and out to get me? Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. I didn't want to feel that way. I wanted to be able to enjoy going out to eat. I wanted to not demonize like cauliflower or avocado. Like, it was just wild. Like, some of these diets, I'm just like, no, this is terrible. So mindful eating is more about how you eat. And it could be that same cup of coffee that when you're drinking it on the go, I got to get to work. Oh my God, the subway's, I'm stuck in traffic. And that gives you the runs or it makes you bloated or makes you sick. But when you're on like a beach in Miami or some island, and you're sipping gingerly, like a little coffee and nothing happens to you. Why is that?
Yeah.
I think we can all think of instances we've had like that. Mm-hmm. And reality, now that's nervous system, that's gut brain, that's mindful eating. That's how you are eating, the state you are in. So there is so much power in it that I want to shake everybody to understand that. And that's really simple. You're going to slow down. You're going to chew your food till applesauce consistency. You're going to be present with your meal. You're going to use your senses. Simple. It's not easy though.
Yeah.
Because nobody in our culture really grew up eating that way. We were eating a standard American diet, you know, which has all sorts of issues.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, we're rushing drive-throughs, fast food, happy meals. How fast, quick can I get this down and keep going? So I can just like,
And even like you mentioned at the beginning, like this, like busy, like a badge of honor, burnout, like a pride thing of like, look at me, like I'm doing so much work wise or in my business or like I can juggle it all. Or even this, like this narrative, obviously, you know, like I'm new to this mom space, but I notice this a lot with moms too, of this, like, I'm like super mom. I'm going to do everything. I'm like, how, what can I outsource? Like I need to outsource something.
You don't want to do everything.
Because if you're doing everything, of course you're going to feel like you have to shove your food in right away. And I think like the way that you're talking about this, like anyone can find themselves in this story where it's like, how can I slow down? Like, even if you treat this like a dial, right? Like you're at like full speed. It's like, how can we slow down just a tiny bit to be more conscious? Like it's so like we can actually implement this in our life. Like it doesn't feel like this whole overhaul, which I think a lot of those then shock our nervous system. And like, you know, when you're saying this gut brain health, like connection and the impact on your nervous system, can you give like a high level overview of like what that actually means for someone that doesn't understand that jargon?
Yeah. I love that. So essentially the gut-brain connection by way of the vagus nerve, if you've heard of the vagus nerve, is extremely powerful. That's a two-way street. Okay. So the best way I can describe it is if you've ever had butterflies in your stomach, right? Mm-hmm. Where you thought a thing, you got nervous for some reason. Maybe you were about to go give a speech for the first time, or you were about to hop on a plane and you just felt a little nervous. You have some jitters and all of a sudden you have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was nothing you ate. Uh-huh. You didn't eat. Had nothing to do with that. It was simply because of these thoughts that you felt unsafe, a little nervous, a little dysregulated, that now we have a digestive reaction. And then vice versa. How about when we have brain fog because we ate way too much? Or how do we feel after Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
You know, we feel like, oh my God, like so sluggish and out of it. And like no one's very sharp after that. So we tend to feel that way, especially if we're eating things and it's just like, you know, a lot of refined sugar, or if we're having gluten sensitivities and all these other things. So this is that gut-brain connection, two-way street. And what I'll see a lot is the overcorrection with diet alone.
Yeah.
Keep eliminating. Oh, gluten, dairy, this, that. Keep FODMAPs, nightshades. Keep deleting. And then women are coming to me and they're like, I don't know what to eat anymore. I don't know. Everyone, like doctors and online, and I'm just reading more and more about elimination diets. And it's like, before you know it, I'm looking at these food journals and they're eating like three things. And then they're going to get more food sensitivities and digestive issues with that because A, they're stressed. So they're not in the rest and digest state when they're eating. That's another critical thing with the gut-brain connection, is that the very first step in digestion is the brain, not mouth, not stomach. You have to be in what's called the parasympathetic rest and digest state. But like you said, we're in that, you know, hustle culture, we're in fight or flight, freeze. We don't even know it because we are so disconnected from our bodies. So the second we go to eat and we're eating at our laptop, even if it's the most beautiful, healthy, sweet green salad in the world, we're not chewing it.
Yeah.
You know, we're staring at a screen. We're not even present with it. Why am I still hungry? I don't know. Cause your brain didn't even register that you ate. You didn't even look at the thing, you know, like spent $25 on a salad and you didn't even like pay attention to it. So this is the struggle. This is that long game. This is that gut-brain connection, that it is so powerful because I like to think of it as this overarching umbrella to our digestive health, to our immune system health even.
Yeah.
And so much more. And when we start to be in that and practice it and be with that more, then the what we eat starts to fall into place a little bit more. We can actually absorb it. Uh-huh. I'll see people with beautiful, immaculate food journals, but they're not absorbing any of it.
Yeah,
we can throw some supplements at the problem, but it's not going to get you to chew your food, babe. I mean, you got to chew your food. So these are the key things that I really like to hammer in. And it takes a lot of rewiring, honestly, and habit change and integration. And then we can go a lot deeper. Then let's figure out, oh, you got some gut infections. Sure, this will be easy to get because we're shifting that terrain.
Yes.
We're playing that long game.
Well, it's when you think of long game too, like I feel as if it's really helpful for anyone listening in, and I would give myself this advice too, is like anything that you're doing right now, it's like, can you sustain like the type of social life that you want to have too, right? Like if you feel like it's constantly, and I'm sure there's a time and place for certain things where you're going to have to eliminate foods and have to really like pay attention because you're trying to figure out and solve a problem. But generally speaking, it's like if you're getting so neurotic about this and you're so stressed, to your point, Allison, it's like, how in the world are you going to go out on a date night with your significant other or go out with your girlfriends ever? And like, how much does that support? Like when you notice, I'm curious to your take on this because you've worked with so many people. Like, do you notice that when people are so laser focused on like, I'm so stressed about this, understandably, they're stressed about their health issues, but like that they like take everything else out of their life that's really fulfilling, like all the other streams of fulfillment and joy into their life. It's like, I don't have time for that because I have to focus on this. Like, have you seen that impact people?
Yes. And then it makes them more isolated, more feeling like the odd person at the table, because then eventually a birthday comes up, a holiday, a vacation.
Yeah.
What do I do? How do I eat out? Even if they make me meat and veggies, they're seed oils. Oh my God. You know, and it's this hypervigilance that is not serving anyone and certainly not your digestion, because again, you have to, that's step one. If we think of digestion as a series of steps, as an assembly line, okay, for my I Love Lucy fans, that chocolate on the assembly line and how it all.
I literally just had it in my head. I love it. I love it.
I
dressed up as Lucille Ball for the Wax Museum when I was in like, I don't know, eighth grade. So
that's amazing. I need to see pictures of that.
I hope you're loving today's episode. I wanted to pop in here real quick and thank our sponsor of today's podcast, my favorite
non-toxic, anti-aging, anti-acne, no hormone disruptors skincare line that actually freaking works. I've literally been using ClearStem for over 5 years. One of my best friends is actually the co-founder. And you know, like if one of your best friends does something, like you want to be super supportive, but you're like kind of nervous, like what if I don't actually like it? So 5.5 years ago, I tried the skincare line and I was like, holy crap, I'm obsessed. So now both my husband and I have literally been using the skincare line for over 5.5 years. And why I love it is because it's non-toxic. Right? And there's so much crap in our skincare and in our products. And I wanted something that I really loved that worked really well. And I have just been such a diehard ClearStem fan for so long that I decided to bring them on as a sponsor of this podcast. So what's really cool is you can head to clearstemskincare.com and use code Keisha, or you can check the link in the show notes. And it's going to get you a sweet discount on all products, but they're really big on education as well. And figuring out like what's the root cause of any of your skin issues. But also even if you don't have major skin issues, which I actually personally don't, it's been really helpful to just keep my skin feeling really good. I love their face wash and their scrub. I love their bounce back serum. They also have a bunch of other serums depending upon what your skin issues are. And the thing that I also am obsessed with, if you're looking for a new moisturizer, their Hydra Berry Moisturizer. You put it on at night and sleep in it and your skin will wake up feeling like a baby's butt. And right now in this current era of new mom life, I love putting it on. And although I'm only sleeping in like 2 hour chunks, it's so nice because I'm like, oh, my skin at least feels really fresh and good and super moisturized. So anyways, if you head to clearstemskincare.com, make sure you use code Keisha. That'll get you a sweet discount on all products. If you have any questions, of course, DM me, shoot me a text. I love talking about these products and hearing how so many of you are obsessed with them now too. So check them out. And without further ado, let's dive back into the show.
So that is it. That is the visual of like that one thing that kind of goes off. And it's usually this and this, yeah, like the chewing, right?
Yep.
And this will now set off this ricochet domino effect throughout, right, the whole system. And it's a very long system. And then so that gut brain is running all throughout. So this is the how it's all connected.
Right.
So 100% where we're just stuck in that rushing and bustling. And so for you listening, if you know, oh my God, yeah, I never chew my food or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, start leaning into mindful eating. I've got like lots of little resources and stuff I share on Insta, yeah, and everything. But that's going to be a big place. And I love your point of like, how are you going to go out with your friends? Yeah. How are you going to, you know, life, you know, you can only be in this bubble for so long. And right, so what I'll see people do is just a roller coaster up and down. I'll try an elimination diet in January. Oh, I fell off. I'll try an elimination diet in the spring. That's, yeah, just no way to live. For me who loves food, I don't want to sit there demonizing it. We should be playing the long game. Find a sustainable way forward. I actually have a really good example for you.
Yeah.
I had a client recently, psoriasis, eczema, lots of gut issues, IBS, she was, you know, diagnosed with essentially. And she total, like, I think she was like working for like a really amazing company in New York City, go getter, getting married, like awesome, right? High energy, our kind of person. And she's in the program, she's doing all the things, we're eating, you know, in a certain way, and she's feeling great. Skin's clearing up, gut's clearing up, everything's going well, but uh-oh. I had paid for this pizza making class, it's gluten, it's dairy, but it's like my best friend's birthday, we were so excited for it, it's like hard to get in there, I mean, what do? I don't want to eat like prepped food, so I said to her, I was like, look, let's do an experiment, eat, yeah, it. I know I told you no gluten for the next, you know, like month or so, but eat it. Yeah. And I want you to eat it mindfully, like as if it's one of those chocolate Dove commercials when the girl's just like the brown silk dress and like eating her chocolate.
Yep.
Like I want you to dial up that mindful eating like an exaggerator if we could.
Yeah.
And enjoy yourself and like enjoy your friends and just be so fully present and report back. Okay. Yeah. The next day she comes in like the community chat to you and she's like, guys, like I had zero reactions. My gut was,
wow,
fine. And she continued on that. Like she had other trips coming up during our time together and all these things. And she was fine.
Yeah.
So yes, it's a mix. Of course, I'm not saying like, oh yeah, go ham and go like back, right, on McDonald's. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying, you see how all these things have a place. And for you, what could be really the biggest issue filling up your bucket, so to speak, of health.
Yeah.
That you inhale your food.
Yeah.
You're super stressed. Let's get those things in check.
I love the narrative about joy too, because I think when there's this culture of labeling food as good and bad, it's like, okay, if you're going to get like ice cream, enjoy your ice cream. Like I was eating, it was interesting because pregnancy actually like really was helpful for me to like even just rewrite the narrative that I had with food, where like I was just thinking more about food as like, what do I enjoy and what's going to fuel me well, what's going to feel good. And I eat a very like healthy diet in general, but it's like, if I wanted to get ice cream, I would eat ice cream and I would love it. Like, yeah. I would just be like, this is an awesome scoop of ice cream. Like, I'm just going to eat this ice cream and savor it. And I think that that's not talked about. It's almost like, especially as women, it's like, we have to almost like give a disclaimer of like, I deserve this because of X, Y, Z. Or even like when we're resting our bodies, right? Like the narrative, I would love to talk about like the sleep side of this and the resting side of this, because how often do you hear women like, you know, I've been working so hard, so like on Saturday, I just need to like relax and like watch Netflix for just like a couple of hours because, you know, I work so hard. It's like, we have this, like, we need to earn the things that bring us joy, or we need to earn rest. Like, what's your, Allison, take on that?
I love that. You know, I think you're so dead on that, especially in this culture, it's just like, disclaimer, like, why I get to have this, or, oh, but I did really well all week, so I get to have my cheat day, or like whatever, you know, all these things are.
Yeah.
And I think that that's part of the big problem with burnout, is that it's like, we have to now deserve to just experience life in the way we want to experience it. Why? Like, who said that? So I think of it this way with stress too. Mm-hmm. We can build up our resilience with both our health, with our capacity for stress. You know, we are go-getters and we are ambitious, and that's great. And we can handle that. I mean, look, I mean, I'm still doing stuff, right? Like, I'm an entrepreneur now. I mean, you know, who knew? Like 10 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that. So in reality, it's like, we can still rise to the occasion and have the goals and do the things. It's not that, you know, we need to slow ourselves down to the point of not being able to do the things that we love.
Yeah.
But I think of it as scales, right? So if on one side we're saying, okay, I want to like try a new business venture or have a side hustle or like whatever, great. Yeah. But how are you also upping the self-care, the rest, the human being, not the human doing? Because that is what's going to build your resilience, build your capacity to take things on in new motherhood. So I'm on baby number two now. He's going to be, he's 9.5 months old.
Yeah.
And man, I'm learning some even new lessons now. but I will say, it's like, you're more stretched, you're more challenged, and having to look at, oh yeah, I am a human.
Yep.
I can only have so much capacity. So how can I build up resilience for that? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I have to take like a year vacation to do that, and then I can come. Maybe like everyone's going to be a little bit different, but it can also be like, oh, I build times throughout my day to have more space for me, like just me time, since everyone else is kind of needing something of me that I do build in that space. I build in the things that fill me up so that I can joyfully give out, right? Not
That is so good. People need to hear that so much. I need to hear that so much too, where it's like, when you're adding something to, like, if you think about it in such a simplistic way, that's so powerful. Like, sometimes the things that are so simple are, they're really easy to do, but they're also really easy not to do. So then sometimes you just don't do them, right?
So you just blaze over it. Like, oh yeah, I'm doing that, I guess.
Whatever. But like what you just said, it's like, okay, so if you're adding something to your plate, like, awesome, add that side hustle, that podcast, that blog, that thing that you're passionate about, that other stream of fulfillment or income into your life. Amazing. Do it. Like, you should do it. If you have that dream, go get it. But on the other side, what are you going to do to support yourself? Like, in order for you to feel like a human being, not just a human doing. I love the way that you put that, because I think we all need that reminder, is like, especially even this time of the year, like the first quarter of the year, we're all like really hyped of like, this is my vision for 2024. I'm going to like dominate the world. We're thinking so much about things that we need to add, right? And often it's honestly, we're sometimes even adding the stress of what we feel like we need to take away when it's in like the food realm. But just generally speaking, it's like, add. Okay, but like, how are you going to support yourself on the back end of that? And you're realistic about this. You're a mom of two, right? So for anyone listening that's like, oh, I'm too busy to give myself 15 minutes, like, we need to find that 15 minutes to give to yourself, especially if you're adding something else, because your nervous system needs that. And like, when you talk about this brain, like, gut health connection, and you mentioned like nervous system in general, like, what do you feel like is the most like impactful things that we can do to support our own nervous system. Because I do, like we were talking about, a lot of women that listen into the show are like us, where they have big dreams, they're doing all the things, and they're super excited. But like sometimes they actually just feel like something's off in their body, but they can't name it. Like, but it's something nervous system and maybe even gut related. Where do we start with that?
I love that. First, I think we need to start getting on the same page that many of us are disconnected from our body.
Yeah.
And exactly like you're saying, because we're so up here cerebral that it's like, I'm smart. I'm a badass. I'm going to go get where, you know, I'm going to go. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but like come back to the body is screaming out with the chronic bloat, the headaches, the exhaustion, right? Maybe you're losing your hair. Like I, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's not to be an alarmist. It's to say, let's sit with it for a second, check in. Am I okay? Like, what's going on? And start to advocate more and more for ourselves. And I think that way we are building that resilience, that capacity to go the long. I'm going to bring up the long game again. I think with me lately, it's just like long game energy all day because we come from such this magic pill society, hurry up, Amazon Prime delivery in my door overnight. Yes. Rah, rah, rah. It's ruining us. Mm-hmm. Like this kind of mentality, right? Because there's no like just nuance. There's no like, oh, I get to spend 15 minutes on myself today. The fact that we have to like, oh my God, I have to like pull myself away from work to just find this 15 minutes to take care of myself. Like when we really zoom out and think about it, it's like, guys, tomorrow's not guaranteed to us.
Right.
Today is what we have. How are you spending your day? You know, are you hugging your loved ones? Are you experiencing your life? You know, are you experiencing the get outside, like anything?
Right.
I think that that's where we need to return and that that's where a lot of dis-ease is coming from. And even from more of a scientific standpoint, it's like we're all glued to devices. We have blue light blaring in our face at night while we're scrolling TikTok. We can't go to sleep. I don't know why. I need melatonin. Maybe magnesium will help me. It's like maybe, or put the phone away. Like, you know, like these are the conversations I have with people. It's like, I've tried everything. I've tried the magnesium. I've tried the, and then I look at their thing and you're on TikTok till 12.
Yep.
What do you think that's doing to you? What do you think that blue light's doing to you? It's telling the body it's daytime, do daytime stuff.
Ooh,
but it's actually nighttime. So the stuff that's supposed to be happening in the nighttime, when does that get to happen? That's detox time.
Yeah.
That's rest time. When do those things get to happen? Never, because you're never resting. Mm-hmm. Enter hormonal imbalances. Enter lack of detox. Like our detox is suffering. We're slow. We're sluggish. We're constipated. We're depressed. We're exhausted. Like all these things. So this is where exactly to your point, it's like these simple things seem almost too simple. Mm-hmm. That I'm not going to do it, or am I going to lean into this?
Yeah.
It's such a catch-22, I know.
So like when we think about some of the symptoms that you, for example, were first experiencing when you started going down this path, like, can you just, I really want to normalize and just like hit home with everybody about some of the things that our culture have said are normal, that are actually indications, although you can't give a diagnosis of what someone's going through, like what is an indication of like, I'm experiencing these symptoms. Maybe I should look more into this, or maybe I should start to like address it. Cause I don't want to scare people, but I want people to if you can catch something earlier or you can just start to be more aware of it, then you actually know that there's a problem. And I think when you know that there's a problem, then you also know that there is going to be a solution, right? But if you're just going through this and normalizing that you feel like crap, like I don't want people that care about building lives that they're obsessed with to feel like freaking crap and think that everybody feels that way, even if the people around them do. Like I want to hear from your Allison, you know, take on this of like, what is quote unquote normal and what should not be normal?
I love that. And to your point of like, oh, like I'm normalizing this symptom. Sometimes there's even like some self-sacrificing going on. Well, until I achieve my dream, until I achieve my goal,
or until I
take care of everyone else, then I'll look at that mistake again, because you don't have that capacity and resiliency to get you there. Mm-hmm. You're going to burn out like I was burning out. Like a lot of us, I think, can relate when we're in that state of like scarcity, burnout, you know, that fight or flight, we're stuck. So yeah, I love that. Things that I will tend to see people normalize and that I even have definitely normalized in the past was that like chronic bloat every single day, looking like I was pregnant by the end of dinner. I'll never forget when like my naturopath, she was like, you have SIBO. I was like, oh my God, what? Yeah. Yeah. And she was just like, yeah, it's not normal to look pregnant at the end of the day. I'm like, it's not? Like, that was like revolutionary to me. I'm like, yeah. What do you mean? I'm like, yeah. I think I've always had SIBO then. You know, suddenly it was like, uh-oh. I'll also, do you know what's funny? And I don't know if you can relate to this. Because it happened to me too. When I went to college and I was exposed to living with other women, mm-hmm. I would notice like, oh, they don't get bloated like I do. Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't get such painful periods like I do. Like they're just out there doing life and I'm rolled up in a ball for 2 days. And pain.
Yeah.
Like suddenly they don't get like all these things. They don't get sick as often as I do. Like it started hitting me much earlier in life, but I just kept going. I was like, well, I don't know. This is
just who I am, you know, or just whatever. Yeah.
Or yeah. Genetics, because like I knew my parents had stuff, and you know I was just kind of told like you have painful periods. We have sensitivity to food. We have sensitive stomach. This is the way it is. And wow. So I think challenge when we have heard these things that yes, genes play a role, but what's going to pull the trigger? You know, there's that saying of like genes load the gun, but something has to pull the trigger essentially. Yeah. And so that's going to be environment, diet, stress, like all these things that we were talking about, the long game, right?
Yeah.
Eventually that pulls a trigger. For me, it was, I was on the birth control pill for 10 years and then I came off. That was the trigger. Mm. So we have that piece. Other things that I was normalizing. Well, like I said, the chronic painful periods. I was dealing with like PCOS and hormonal imbalances and all these issues. But another big one, let's just talk about energy of crashing every day at like 2 p.m. And like we were saying, like having to go to Starbucks and like, oh, that's so funny. Let me shake my ice drink. And it's like, yeah, like I'm all for comedy. Okay. Yeah. But like having to need more and more caffeine, having to run off caffeine all day, red flag.
Yeah.
It is actually possible for you to not need that. And that's what I think people just don't realize. They've never been there. They've never felt it, or at least not since they were kids, maybe.
Yeah.
And they see everyone around them also doing it, normalized.
Yep.
But I'm here to say that's not normal. Your blood sugar is probably highly dysregulated. There's probably hormonal imbalances because of that. Digestion can be out of whack. So there are very real things we can do at the foundational level to support more long-lasting energy all day. And it doesn't have to be that way. So I think those are the ones I see the most is like energy, digestive issues, pain, like chronic, like, oh, I always get a migraine. Or I always get, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. To your point, it's not to be an alarmist. Yeah. These are some, it's not nothing to be like, you know,
right.
But
just be aware. Yeah.
Be aware, be connected to the body, start to notice maybe what triggers are in play for you. Not in this like hypervigilant way, but just like starting to notice, get curious, be open.
Yes.
And starting to seek out more of these long game supports, I think would really be supportive as a first step.
The curiosity lens, I feel, takes so much pressure and makes it feel more playful. And although, yes, there can be serious things that come from like these symptoms accumulating over time. Yes. And that's very real. And I don't want to like say that it's not, because I understand there are some people listening into this that like you're going to find something that like we need to fix. Right. And it's going to take a different approach. But as you're starting to notice, you know what, like I do have really painful periods, or you know what, I do feel super sluggish. Or as Allison's talking, I'm thinking like, wait, like I do feel super like pregnant, bloated feeling. And like, I can't button my jeans. It's like, instead of freaking out and now stressing yourself out and spiking up your cortisol and turning this into like a crazy WebMD, like dark spiral thing, let's like start to notice even some of those simple things, right? Like the thinking about how you're actually eating your food, which is something my husband, you know, did like a gut health panel thing, because he had like some weird like poop things going on. And by the way, it was really fun. Like a grown man being like, from the bathroom, he's like, babe, like this poop test, do I have to actually like scoop this poop into a
drink? Yes, like, that's the exact test that I used to.
I was like, I am not helping you do this.
Read the directions.
Read the directions. I'm not helping you. Like, we are not doing that.
I know. It's like, that's not this relationship. Yeah.
Well, but one of the things that we were like thinking about is like, how quickly were we eating, right? Like we're like eating so freaking fast. It's like, okay, let's eat. Now we have to go jump to this next thing that we're doing. Yeah. And it's like, where can this actually be a really cool opportunity to recalibrate in your own life too? Where I was like, I love sitting, chatting with you, like eating, like if we're getting a coffee, I want to go for like a 90-minute walk. And over the 90-minute walk, I drank the coffee luxuriously and I ate something before I had my coffee, right? Like it's like, it's a really cool opportunity in a lot of ways. While I know it can be scary and overwhelming, I also really do think that like having this approach, and why I love your like perspective on this, is because again, it like eases people in. Even the way that you're saying like dis-ease instead of disease. Disease sounds so freaking scary. I think even hearing the word by cortisol is like, right? So I just really appreciate your take on all of this. And I think that this is going to be such a like supportive episode for people just to kind of like gain awareness, you know? And like from that, I want to know if someone right now is starting to recognize like, ooh, I really want to work on this, where would you suggest that they could start? And also how can they get connected with you if there's something that you can do to help support them? Like give them all the rundown. Because I just think it's my job. So I've got a community of all of these women that are listening into the show. It's my job to connect them to people that I'm like, yes, approve of her. She's got you. Allison, tell them what to do.
You're the best. Yeah. This is the community, right? Like this is my people. This is who I have been for so long. And I want to be able to support people so that they're not going through this. So
yeah,
I think the best place, come follow me on Instagram.
Yep.
Food by Mars.
Yeah.
Is my handle. I also have on my site, like I have hundreds of recipes that you can grab, resources, meal plans, things like that. And then I obviously coach. So
yeah,
these are my people. If any of those things sound familiar to you, we can chat.
But also like your passion for cooking also turned into a cookbook that you launched. So tell them about your cookbook. And also I want to do like a fun giveaway for the cookbook. So tell them about what it is.
Yes. Yeah. So my cookbook is called the Paleo Gut Healing Cookbook. Made it in 2020. That was so fun. and yes, what started me on this, like I said, I started kind of blogging about food and sharing what I was doing and all these things. And so that's where the passion turned into, because I used to love going to restaurants in the city and, you know, oh my God, guys, I was a Yelp elite for a minute. Like I was like
Subtle flex, not anymore.
It's not something I talk about, but like, so I was just so into all those things and I could not part with liking food. And I just hate the idea of someone being on their healing journey and being scared by food or triggered or upset, you know, all those things, because we have to eat 3 times a day. It's not like something you can give up like alcohol. Like you have to eat. So we need to at least have a neutral relationship with it. So anyway, my cookbook. Yes. Let's do a giveaway, please. I have a 2-week meal plan in there. Gut Healing meal plan. I have a lot of tips. A lot of the things that we talked about, honestly, are captured in that cookbook, like in the intro chapters, to help get you a little bit more in action with this kind of long game. And then you have all my recipes that are honestly like remakes of just my favorite food.
Yeah. So I love it.
Call that.
Oh, okay. This is so fun. And also it just makes it really fun. Like let's like just spice things up in your life. Like maybe you just need to like cook and like start to enjoy life a little more, which I think was a really important part of this conversation. So if you tag Keisha Get Marry Me, obviously, and Food by Mars, Allison, on Instagram with your takeaways from today's episode, we're going to pick 3 people and we're going to give you one of Allison's cookbooks. Yay! And this is going to be so fun. But Allison, seriously, thank you so much for everyone listening in. Go follow her on Instagram. She posts amazing content that I think is going to be really supportive for you, especially if you're in this curiosity phase. And then if you know that you need support, reach out to her, send her a DM, go check out her website. We'll link everything in the show notes. But honestly, just like get that connection to get the support that you need, because you're supposed to feel good. You deserve to feel freaking good. Like that's what we need to normalize.
And something I want to also say to both you, mama, and all my girls out there, is really like you are your business's or career's best resource.
Yeah.
It's coming from you. It's not coming from more strategies and how do I get more?
Preach.
It's like there's so much power right in here. And if we just optimize and tweak and support and build up more resilience, you're going to fly. That's what I definitely want to say to people.
Oh, I love you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show, girl. And I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like send it to her right now or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.